Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Laff, it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zalbin. You know Alexander. He's here pretty much every Friday. We talk about show business. We talk about television with him. How are things, Alex? Everything good?
Doing great. How good. Are things with you?
I have to. Oh, fine. For me, Wendy, anything?
Everything
you
good.
Report?
I just have to laugh because we accidentally happened into a theme song for you now. So I hope you're cool with it.
I love it.
It's very immediate.
I play it whenever I walk into stores and just everywhere.
You deserve your own theme song, Alex. Here's what I've noticed. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. It seems like there's game shows on constantly now. When did that happen?
Last year, kind of, but more so this year. It's been a little insane to see what's been happening this summer in particular. To your point, there's, I'm certainly going to forget a lot of them, but there's Pressure to Luck, Card Sharks is back. There was Let's Make a Deal, $100,000 Pyramid, so many others, and they're all launching at the same time. Mm-hmm. I think what's going on is we're seeing this weird transition period with summer television where it used to be a null zone, you know, it just repeats and that was it while everybody actually went outside. But as TV slowly transitions into going year-round, broadcast networks are kind of scrambling to come up with things that are going to fill the holes between those 22-episode seasons of regular broadcast shows. And the easiest thing to do is a game show. You know, it's much lower budget. It's much easier to produce something like that. So they're throwing tons of them on the air right now.
And people are hosting, people are guesting on the show, but also hosting the show that you wouldn't think, right? Mm-hmm. There's some pretty big names involved.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting, Elizabeth Banks is hosting Press Your Luck. Joel McHale is hosting Card Sharks. You know, the Alec Baldwin host game show as well.
Match game.
I think it comes down to it's kind of an easier payday. You come in for a shorter work day. You're having everything fed to you. Hosting certainly has its challenges, as you guys know very well. But at the same time, it's not the same thing as being on a set all day long, all night, shooting either a dramatic or a comedic show.
It's so funny because on the old Match Game, they would hint at dirty answers, but it was like a subtle hint. But now on Match Game, it's as blatant can be. They want you to give dirty answers.
It's 2019. That's what we're all about, I guess.
One of Wendy's favorite television shows and one of my favorite television shows was on last night. I didn't get a chance to see it. Wendy saw it and loved it. Baskets.
The Baskets debut. You are not a clone.
The new season of Baskets debuted on FX. You can probably stream it now on FX Plus, and it's going to be running throughout the summer. Our reviewer, Kayla Cobb, who loves the show, wrote up a wonderful review that is up on Decider. She loved it, and she's loved the episodes that she's seen. An interesting point she brought up is that the show has already been always been about arrested development for Zach Galifianakis' character, but this is a season that actually lets him make steps forward, small steps, funny steps, weird steps, but he's actually progressing as a human being, and it's delightful to see.
It is so amazing because there, I just love Louis Anderson as Christine Baskets. I don't even see him as Louis Anderson anymore. Mm-hmm. And the relationship that she has with her kids, it's like they're so dysfunctional, but they truly love each other. It's just, it's like a laugh cry kind of thing. It's the greatest show.
Yeah, it's very good. Unfortunately, not a lot of people watch FX shows, but if you do have access to FX or if you want to go back and watch the series, highly recommend checking it out.
Another trend, Alex, as long as we're talking about shows, is comedies like Baskets that also have very dark sides to them. They can be mm-hmm. very serious and very sad when they want to be, but also very funny. You've seen this show with, his name is Gad. He's a French comedian. He's France's Jerry Seinfeld. Wendy, we had him on a couple of years ago.
Him.
He's got a show that's really, really funny at times, but very poignant and sad at other times.
Yeah, this is...
Huge in France, it's called.
Yes, Huge in France on Netflix. For better or for worse, it was a trend that was started by Louis C.K.'s show, Louis, on FX, which really mixed comedy with some episodes were just completely serious. And that was a huge hit. It gave more comedians more of a chance to really mix those sort of things together. Because when it comes to awards time, comedies don't get any respect. You're laughing at it, so it seems like an easy thing. Comedians know it's not easy to put together a comedy or craft a really good joke. But if you're going for Emmys or something like that, you have to have something more dramatic. And there's so many of them on the air. It's not just FX now. It's Netflix, as you mentioned, with shows like Huge in France. HBO has shows like Barry that mix drama and comedy at the same time. And it's, other than the episode length of half an hour, sometimes it's hard to categorize them as comedies at all.
Right, right. Fred Armisen has a new project on HBO that's premiering this week. What is the project?
Sure. This is Los Espookies, and it premieres tonight on HBO at 11 p.m. And the neat kind of groundbreaking thing about the show is that it's mostly a Spanish language show. There is some English in it, but most of it is through subtitles. Usually HBO takes shows like that and puts them on their HBO Latin block. But mostly everybody is Spanish speakers. Fred Armisen guests on the show. And it's about a couple of people who use their love of horror to turn it into a very weird business in an alternate version of present-day Mexico City. Everybody on my staff who has seen it has absolutely loved the show. They think it's super weird. If you like Fred Armisen, you kind of know what you're getting into, I think. But it's very unique and very creative, and also visually creative at the same time.
Great title, Los Espookies.
I got to watch that.
Very funny.
Anything he touches,
yeah,
I have to watch.
He's so good. All right, so that starts tonight. Another superhero entree on Netflix. This is the Marvel series Jessica Jones.
Yeah, this is actually the last Marvel series that's going to be on Netflix, at least for the time being. They initially launched with this whole slate that included Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist, leading up to this Defenders team-up that was supposed to be their Avengers. Now it's kind of fizzled out. All of the shows have been canceled. They're all still going to be on the service, so if you ever want to check them out, that's fine. But as of today, the final, third and final season of Marvel's Jessica Jones launched, and that's going to be the last Marvel show for the time being. Unfortunately, I've watched the first couple of episodes. It's a bit of a slog. Kristen Ritter, who plays the main character, is very good in it. Carrie Ann Moss, who plays a lawyer, friend slash enemy of hers, is also really excellent, as of the rest of the cast. If you're a fan of the show, certainly you're going to want to check it out. But a lot of the flaws that were in the worst seasons of the Marvel Netflix shows, which is too long episodes, very slow pacing, making fun of superhero tropes, they're all kind of there. And it's not bad, but it's definitely a fizzle out for the franchise, I would say.
Is the shine off the diamond on superhero shows? We've had such a glut of them in the last 5 years or so. Are we starting to say, oh, we've seen it all before or not?
I think it's changed, if anything. We're starting to see a second generation of superhero shows that are doing really well. Things like Umbrella Academy, which is from a Dark Horse property, Dark Horse Comics instead of Marvel Comics property, did really well on Netflix. You have other things like Doom Patrol on DC Universe, things that point at the flaws in superhero fiction and almost work as anti-superhero fiction are the things that are working quite well. But then if you turn to superhero shows, if you look at a network like the CW, shows like The Flash and Arrow are still absolutely their top shows, and millions of people watch them every week. So some shows are falling down. The Marvel Netflix shows certainly did not work, but Marvel is going to be launching new shows on Hulu in the coming year. Disney Plus has tons of shows coming up that tie very specifically into the Marvel movies, so they're not going away anytime soon.
I'm not a huge superhero movie lover or show lover, but and that's why I didn't originally watch The Umbrella Academy, because that's completely different, and that I absolutely loved.
I think we're going to see a lot more like that. There's a creator named Mark Millar who has launched a deal with Netflix, and he has his own, not superhero universe, but group of superhero books. He's the creator of, I don't know if I can say this on air, but Kick Ass, the movie series that came out.
Gotta go, Alexander. Thanks for calling.
You can say it.
No, you're fine.
Yeah. Just don't say F you. No, you can't spell it.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
You can say kick ass.
All the kids from the script spelling bee know you just swore.
The SEC are going to be through the roof on this one.
They're worth it.
But my point being that you're going to see a lot more superhero shows like that coming on Netflix that are deconstructing superhero shows in a certain way.
That makes sense. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk with our bosses about what Alexander just said. We'll apologize.
Yeah,
we'll come back with more. Stick around. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN. Spill Left. It's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zalbin. Potty mouthed Alexander, as we call him here. WGN. Who knows what he'll say next? Text has come in, Alex. I need to know when Frankie and Grace is coming back. It is coming back, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. People really love the show. I think it just finished its fourth season, right? Or fifth season?
Fourth or fifth.
Yeah, the series was renewed for a sixth season, and typically they premiered at the beginning of the year around January or so. So if you were looking for the sixth season, I would guess probably January 2020, though there's nothing confirmed by Netflix as of yet.
Wendy, you had a question about a show you're watching?
I have been watching Netflix a lot lately. I've been catching up on things, and I keep seeing the promo for Murder Mystery, this new movie with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston. And I just assumed that it was a big screen movie, but no, it's a Netflix movie, and it premieres tonight, right?
It's on right now if you want to go watch it. It's Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston. Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston reunited. They're going on a murder mystery, Agatha Christie kind of inspired cruise in Europe. Adam Sandler actually has an ongoing deal with Netflix, so most of his, if not all of his films, have been going there lately. And it's, not great, according to our reviewer.
Yeah.
But I don't think you really expect anything else from Adam Sandler movie at this point. So if you just want to chill out and watch something dumb with Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston, that is there right now.
I will watch that.
So
I really will.
Who exactly decides when there's a property, a script, if it's going to be fed to a Netflix-type outlet or to theaters? I mean, he's got a deal, so they contract him to do two or three or four movies. But if there's just a movie being made, who goes, this will work better as a Netflix movie or as a feature film in theaters?
You know, there's no real set rules at this point, and this is something that's being figured out right now because Netflix, Hulu, Prime Video, etc., all buying original movies at places like Sundance is a relatively new thing. But if you look at the Sundance Film Festival, which has typically been the space for people to buy indie films, the past year, they were the major buyers. That's where the money was going. And then it's really up to the producers, if they've already made the film, to make a decision. Okay, do I want to take a risk and go for theatrical distribution? Or do I want to say, nope, I'm going to give it to Netflix. They're going to give me a ton of money and then I'm good to go. And ultimately, that comes a lot down to the filmmaker. You know, do they feel like, no, this is a movie that needs to be shown in theaters and be seen on the big screen? Or are they going to be okay with it debuting on Netflix? And, just to kind of finish this up and tie this together, Netflix in particular, and Prime Video has been doing this for a while, are trying to help that out. They've reversed their decision in a certain way to only put things out on their streaming service first. And so a lot of upcoming movies from Prime filmmakers, one would say, like the Coen brothers or Spike Lee or Martin Scorsese, have gotten a two-week theatrical release before it debuts on the service, which allows them to be nominated for awards like Oscars.
Yeah. It used to be the Academy Awards would insist the movie had to be shown first in a theater. Now they've lightened up a little bit on that, huh?
Yeah, it's an ongoing discussion, honestly, at this point, and it's something that people are fighting about a lot, but streaming is so relatively new and it's changing so rapidly that, again, it's really hard to come up with any hard and fast rules on anything.
I have recently jumped into the Big Little Lies bandwagon. I watched it because I had some free time. I absolutely got sucked in. I binge-watched everything. I love it. That will be back, won't it?
It's back. The first episode premiered.
Oh, that's right.
Sunday on HBO.
That's right. I'm caught up. Love that.
But there is going to be a new episode every Sunday. It's 7 weeks long, so it's still a very limited series. But it's from my reviewers who have seen advanced episodes. That's great. You know, it's fantastic performances. It's gorgeous cinematography. Meryl Streep is an awesome, of course, addition to the cast.
She's amazing. It's going to be so much fun. And something that I always confuse it with, there's a show, Life in Pieces, that, Bill, you used to watch.
I watched it last night. It's really funny.
The listener wants to know if that's been canceled.
I think it has, actually.
Yeah, it has been.
Yeah, I believe so.
Because the cast they sent out tweets. They announced it during the upfronts. Were those 3 weeks ago, Alex? Remind me, 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Oh, gosh. So that didn't make. Yeah, probably. I think it was about a month ago at this point.
It didn't make the schedule, so several cast members sent out tweets, you know, thanking the audience for 4 years and how much they'll all miss it. It's very sad because it was really a very funny, innovative show. So, yeah.
Yeah, it even didn't do that badly. You know, the ratings were pretty much okay for the show by broadcast standards, but CBS is the number one network, and they're always looking for something that's in that 10 to 20 million range instead of the 5 to 10 million range.
Too bad. HBO has a show, interesting-looking show, starting on Sunday night called Euphoria. What can you tell us about Euphoria?
Sure. So this is their big play for the teen market. Though, to be honest, we were joking about this morning. We don't know how many teens are going to say, hey, did you watch HBO last night? But it stars Zendaya. It's very honest about the teen experience. There's a lot of drug use in it. There's a lot of sex in it. There's a lot of nudity in it. I don't know if you guys are familiar with this one, but one of our writers, Megan O'Keefe, likened it to Skins, the UK show that ran for many years, which was also similarly very honest about teens and also occasionally surreal in the way that it portrayed things. So if you're looking for something weird, something interesting, Euphoria, 9 p.m. on HBO on Sunday.
Somebody in 847 says simply, what is the deal with Homeland? That one's done too, isn't it, Homeland?
Yeah, I believe that's done at this point.
Yellowstone? I'm not familiar with Yellowstone. Is Yellowstone on or coming on, or what is Yellowstone?
Yellowstone just debuted for a second season. This is a semi-Western homestead show starring Kevin Costner. It's one of those shows. It's on the Paramount Network, which nobody really knows how to watch. But it does really well. We've been actually surprised about the response to the show because it's not something really talked about in critical circles, but people who watch it love it. It's a drama set on a homestead. If you like Kevin Costner, probably gonna like the show.
I thought Kimmy Schmidt was done, the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, but apparently not, which is great news because that was hysterically funny. What's coming up with Kimmy Schmidt?
Yeah, there's going to be, I'd say, one more, but I guess at least one more, because we also thought it was done after the four seasons. Next year, they're going to have an interactive Kimmy Schmidt movie. It probably won't be as dark as this, but if you played with Black Mirror Bandersnatch, the interactive episode they did a couple of months back on Netflix, it's going to be the same sort of thing, using the same sort of technology. Daniel Radcliffe is going to be co-starring in the movie in a mysterious role called Frederick, but the way that they teased it is, we think the plot is, can you get Kimmy to her wedding on time over the course of the episode? And along the way, there's dancing teddy bears and robot apocalypses and all the crazy things that Kimmy does. So it's not exactly a fifth season to the show. It's certainly not what anybody expected when they said maybe we'll do a movie at some point, but it should be a lot of fun for fans.
Kimmy Schmidt, like 30 Rock, was one of those shows that if you sometimes needed to watch it two or three times to get all the jokes. There were so many layers of jokes that you couldn't catch them all on one viewing.
Yeah, and this one being interactive, again, if you're familiar with Bandersnatch, that was something that I believe there was like a 6 to 8 hour play length if you wanted to watch anything, everything.
It was really cool.
It's probably going to be the same thing.
Wow.
So you're going to have to watch, you're going to have to spend several days watching at this point.
That's all right.
I think Big Brother debuts this weekend. I could be wrong. It's coming up soon, though, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, Big Brother is coming up Tuesday, June 25th at 8 p.m.
All right,
so
I'm ready for it.
Pretty exciting.
Alex, great to talk to you. We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you a week from now.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much. It's Alexander Zalbin, the managing editor at Decider.com. It's a great website, Decider.com. We'll take a break, and then we'll talk to a mountain climber, somebody who's been up top on Mount Everest, and find out what that was like. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.